Ça commence.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the AMBAM 2.5 Extravaganza session. My name is Maxime Rasselo, and I'm a Microsoft MVP in the Windows IT Pro category for about 5 years now. I also work for a French Microsoft partner, and this is my colleague Lionel.
Lionel Lepalier, I'm a Forefront MVP in France too. I worked before as a service consultant like Maxime, and today I work on big company as Microsoft security expert.
All right, so yesterday you had a session about deploying AMBAM 2.5. Today we are going to talk about together about best practice but also feedback. We want to make an interactive session with you. If you have feedback to provide, if you have experience, some problems that you want to talk about, we have a mic here, so just raise your hand and grab the mic and expose your problem. Today it's the real world environment, it's not a demonstration about feature and how to deploy the product. It's the real world experience, what are the limits, the different problems, but also the best practice and the feedbacks we collected on our clients during some projects. So, quick overview about the new features, then we'll show our lab, because we have some demos for you. Then we'll talk about best practice, feedback, and what is the user experience with AMBAM, how can we improve it, and then a few tips to customize the environment. And then if you have questions, do not hesitate, raise your hand and ask your question.
Okay, first of all, who knows about TrueCrypt here? Okay.
All right, pretty good number.
And who use it in their production? No, not a lot of people. Okay, fine. Because TrueCrypt development ending and the team recommend to migrate to Microsoft solution BitLocker because now TrueCrypt stop the development and it's not yet a secure solution for protecting the drive on Microsoft.
Right, so we'll talk a little bit about BitLocker and AMBAM. First of all, why do we need BitLocker? As IT pro, I think you already know the answer. A few facts, a lot of devices are lost, stolen in airports, in public places, sometimes even in your own house. Can happen. Well, how as an IT pro can I secure the device and to prevent unauthorized access to the data? Maybe as an admin you have a file with password. Okay, that's not a best practice. But some guys have password in the file. Well, if the device is stolen, the file is stolen. Well, the password can be accessed by someone. That's a problem. Another point is about secure decommissioning. Okay, you enable BitLocker on the device. The user change had a new PC. How can you secure decommission the old PC? Will you wipe the data? What about the TPM? What about the recovery key? What happens? This is some kind of scenarios that you have to take into account in your company.
A little word about decommissioning. I remind you that format utilities delete the metadata. And where the BitLocker keys is stored? In the metadata. So if you make a format, you wipe the keys, and the BitLocker drive become in recovery mode. Little word about history. The first release of AMBAM implement a lot of new features in addition of BitLockers. The interesting one is the simplified recovery. Why? Imagine you got a user come to you and say, oh, my drive got in recovery mode. I got a lot of pictures I need to have. How to do this? You extract a package with the recovery key, and you could recover the hard drive even if the hard drive become crashed or got a problem. The second release of MBAM implement the configuration manager integration and the possibility for the end user to ask for a recovery key for himself. And the SP1 introduce localization. Who need to make an upgrade of their current MBAM infrastructure?
Was version 2.0? Nobody? You're already on 2.5? Yeah, that's great.
For those who need to make an upgrade, there is following step to be aware. First of all, you need to remove the right access to the database. How to do this? You remove the web service. Then, I hope so, you make a backup in order there is a problem. After you make incremental upgrade of your database in order to get a database with 2.5 versions, then you install the web service in order to restore the right access to the database and the communication with the agents. And the final steps, you upgrade the agent because the old version of the agent could communicate with the MBAM 2.5 infrastructure.
All right, what about the new features? Well, as an IT guy, I want to be sure that when I deploy the encryption, I want to be sure that all the laptops have BitLocker enabled. And then the most important, that the recovery key is stored in the database. Because if I don't have the recovery key, well, in case of problem, the device is locked. I also want that this operation is transparent for the user. Sometimes if you use the TPM and only the TPM, well, with MBAM 2.5, you can have a transparent scenario. The user won't have to enter his PIN code unless you enable it. Well, as a user experience, when you first log in the morning and you're asking for a prompt to encrypt your volume. Well, with version 2.0, it was not very great because the user can postpone the encryption. Well, there's no enforcement of the BitLocker policy. So the user can always postpone. That's feedback from our clients. How can I be sure that BitLocker is enabled on the machine? Well, thanks to MBAM 2.5, you can use a grace period, which means that you set, for example, five days. After these 5 days, the user has to encrypt the volume. He won't be able to work until the encryption is launched, and it will be transparent, completely transparent. The encryption will run in the background, and the user can work. So that's a great feature to be sure that all the company has BitLocker enabled. Well, before, even when BitLocker was enabled, well, the PC was not secure. Why? Because the PIN code was too easy to find. So now, weak pins are forbidden. 1, 2, 3, 4 is not an acceptable pin. 0, 0, 0, 0 neither. So now, you have security about the pin, and that's much better for security reasons. Also, you can use now password means you don't have to use the PIN code. As a reminder, the PIN code, you enter the PIN code using F1 to F10 keys on your keyboard. Well, with password, you can directly type your password with ASCII characters, and then you're good to go on your machine. Well, we will see that it not always work as expected, especially with some keyboards.
Performance. Our customer says there is no real-time report for the enterprise compliance report because there is a frame of 6 hours for the refresh. Imagine you got a new BitLocker computer arrive between the two refresh. You have no states about these computers. Imagine this computer is stolen or lost. You don't know for 6 hours how about these computers. Now, there is a real-time report with SCCM integration, for example, and there is no great job in SQL Server. There is another issue, too, with performance while using web services and SQL Servers. Our customer asks, OK, at what point I need to deploy one another node for SQL or IIS? For IIS, it's recommended to deploy one another node for 70,000 endpoints, and for SQL, around 500,000 endpoints.
OK, what about Active Directory? That's one of the biggest features. Local groups, everybody knows that. It's a pain to maintain. You have to put your own AD groups in your local groups. And the main problem with local groups is that can be deleted or modified by local admins. So that's not really secure. Well, now you can use AD accounts and AD groups directly in the wizard. So no more local groups, more security. And moreover, the web server is launched no more as a network service, but now you can launch it as a user account too. So just a regular user from your AD that has read-write permission on your database server. That's all. But Active Directory, it's not about groups and users, it's also about domains. Thanks to version 2.5, you can now use different scenarios for multi-phrase deployment, for example. So you have the scenario one forest, one tree, one domain. This is the easiest scenario. You have one forest, one tree, and several domains in it. Okay. One forest and several tree with this joint namespace. For example, contoso.com, evosite.com. And the last scenario, multi-forest. Okay, you need a trust relationship between your forest. But now, MBAM supports all the following scenarios. And that's pretty cool when you have a resource forest and a user forest, and you need to interact between these two forests. A little bit about automation now. As you may know, you have now PowerShell commandlets to automate things. Well, as an IT guy, I like to automate things. You need maybe to generate reports, to write scripts to fully deploy an infrastructure of, for example, 10, 12 web servers, 10 nodes for your SQL server. Well, now, with MBAM 2.5, you can script in PowerShell and get recovery information and audit information directly. So scripting guys, it's for you. And the last part, I think it was the most weight featured. Because high availability, without it, you have single point of failure. Your SQL server database, your MBAM web server. Okay, the recovery database stores the recovery key of your client. But what about what happened if the SQL server is down? Okay, and now what happened if the web server is down? Well, you won't be able to store recovery keys on your database, but you won't be able to retrieve them to unlock a PC. So now you can use load balancing for the web components, but also all the HA feature of SQL Server, aka clustering, failover clustering, mirroring, okay, that's an old feature, and always on availability groups. So that's pretty complete. And also, for the record, MBAM 2.5 is now compatible with SQL Server 2014. All right.
We're doing this session by a real customer's deployment. It was it's a big customer. Imagine this customer got around 20,000 devices, tablets, laptop, desktop, a lot of things to handle. And this customer want to be sure that BitLocker is enabled on each endpoint while using Configuration Manager to push or pull the agent to make a zero-day egress to be sure that user cannot postpone forever the encryptions and put their PIN code, and to provide dashboard, for example, to the top management with custom dashboard provided by SSM. And this customer got also a dedicated support team to help the end user in case of recovery key.
All right, so here you have a logical view about classic MBAM infrastructure. Well, everything starts on the client. The client needs to be encrypted. Well, first of all, we need to deploy the MBAM agent on this client. You can deploy it using SCCM, can integrate the client in your image, for example, use it in a task sequence, etc. Or manually install if you need it. Okay, that's not the recommended way. Then, when the client is installed, he needs to gather policies from the domain controller. These policies will configure the client and to show which web server to talk. What is the URL from the web server to talk with the MBAM web server. Then, when everything is set up, the client will start the encryption by configuring the TPM, will launch the wizard to ask for a PIN code, or do it transparently if there's no PIN code and only TPM, or no TPM with Windows 8 and more, for example. And then the client will send the recovery key to the web server, and the web server will store it on the database. That's the common way.
I also got weird question from our customers. Our customer says, okay, how the agent work? Imagine I push all the policies, the agent is deployed, I not begin yet to encrypt the disk. Imagine if I unplug the network card. What happened? The encryption fails because the MBAM agent need to be sure that first one, I push the TPM password on the database, fine. Second one, I push the recovery key on the database, fine. And then I could start the encryption. Only if the agent is sure that all the keys are stored on the database. And after the encryption begins, you could unplug the network cable, no problem. So be sure that when you want to use the encryption, to get network connection, and never use local users because it's not worked yet. It works only with domain users when you want to start the encryption with the MBAM agent.
Yeah, that's a real-world scenario, because how can you manage the device in mobility? We'll talk about that later. But for example, how can you be sure that the recovery key is stored correctly? When you're on the local network, it's pretty straightforward. You have network connectivity most of the time. Well, if you have if something goes wrong, well, you may miss some recovery key and have problems. All right, so a little bit about our lab. So we have a SQL server, actually two nodes, on a failover cluster, Evo SQL 1 and Evo SQL 2. On one node, we have the SSRS instance installed for SCCM integration. And then a SQL web server with the self-service and the help desk web application. And one client using Windows 8.1 for the test. Everything is virtual on my Hyper-V, on my machine. So we will see that sometimes virtual environments are not very supported. All right. So here my demo environment. I will first start to the SQL server. This is my first node, and you can see here that I have two instances, one instance for MBAM, one instance for Config Manager. The first one is on my second node, and the second one is mounted on my first one. Okay. Pretty straightforward cluster, nothing new. Well, yesterday, during the previous session of MBAM, they showed you how to enable encryption to securely communicate with your SQL database. You're doing that by generating a certificate for your SQL server, and then you will enable encryption in the parameters of your instance. Well, in a cluster mode, it's a little bit different. First of all, you need a certificate, but not for the node, for the cluster instance name. Here, my cluster instance name, you can see here, is called, it's for SCCM, for MBAM, it's the same structure, MBAMC, client access name. So I need a certificate for mbamc.evosci.com. Evosci.com is my domain. And this certificate will be installed on all your nodes. OK? So I already have the certificate. So I open the certificate store on my local computer. And the personal folder here, I have the certificate issued by my local CA. So now everything is fine. Of course, you have to trust the CA, so you need to deploy the CA certificate on the trust store of all your clients. You can do this by GPO. Okay, so this certificate needs to be deployed on all your nodes. When it's done, well, the normal way to activate the encryption is here on your SQL Server Configuration Manager. On the server network configuration part for MBAM, you may right-click and go to the properties. Right? And here you select for some encryption. But before, you need to select a certificate. And that's here the problem, because here you cannot see your certificate for the cluster. And that's a normal behavior. It's by design on the SQL server. You won't see it, but you can use it anyway. How? You need to edit the registry and to complete a registry key. that we will find just now. So first of all, you need to go back to the certificate store and to grab the thumbprint of your certificate. Right, so quickly here, this is my certificate. All right. And here, I will take the thumbprint of my certificate. You copy paste it on Notepad, for example. Notepad, right? You need to clean the thumbprint by removing spaces and using uppercase later. Well, when it's done, you have this right. This key here, this is the thumbprint of my certificate, the cluster certificate, and you need to edit the registry key to use it for the encryption. And this registry key is stored here on software Microsoft, Microsoft SQL Server, your instance name, SQL Server, and SuperSocket Netlib. Okay, that's the name. And by default, it is empty. That's why you need to populate this field here on the certificate. Right, not this one. It's this one without spaces. All right. And here, your node is configured. But you need to do that on your, all your nodes. So it's better doing that by GPO. Well, when you're done, you just have to enable on your SQL Server Configuration Manager the encryption. So be aware of that. If you use a failover cluster, you need to do this to use encryption. All right. That was the first demo about SQL Server. Now let's talk about SSRS. It is installed on this node. As you may know, SSRS does not support cluster. So you can install it on one node, but you can failover cluster the instance. That's why I'm connected locally here to my first node. And the particularity that I install SSRS in the System Center instance. So here you have my config manager instance and my SSRS instance. Oh. Beware, you need to install it in a native mode and you won't configure it. So that's the only part for the SSRS server. Well, you need to configure some stuff here about the report server URLs. You see, it's not the best practice. I use HTTP. You may need HTTPS with another certificate, for example. And of course, you need, let's see this one here. You need to execute it with a domain account, which is called SQL Report Services with a password and not the network service. All right. So I'll talk about SCCM integration. So let's go to the SCCM web server. Here I have my config manager console. And first of all, when you use SCCM integration, you first need to create a reporting services point which directs to the node that you install SSRS. So I've already done that. In your site configuration here, you can see that SQL 1 as the reporting service point configured. After doing that, you can install the MBAM role, which is called SCCM integration. Of course, before on the SSRS server, you install the reporting role, which is also part of the MBAM install. And when you do that, there are one last thing you need to do. It's to deploy the SCCM client so your device can talk with the config manager. All right, so here in the device, I can see that I have a client, Evo client. He has the config manager client, and it's active. Great. So now in the device collection, when you install the SCCM integration, it creates a device collection default, which is called MBAM supported computers. It will detect all the devices who has the SCCM client and are compatible for BitLocker, the TPM, the right operating system, etc. Well, by default, it does not support virtual environment, which means that if you have a virtual machine for testing purposes, for example, you need to customize this device collection by going to the properties. Yep. And here in the membership rule, you have to edit the default membership rule. So here you can see that I manually add my client, which is not best practice, I know. It's for the testing purposes. Here you have the membership rule BitLocker compliant computers. And by editing the query, you can clean the virtual machine condition. It's show query language. Here you have a beautiful query. And this device collection will not take into account a machine with virtual machine, VMware virtual platform, VirtualBox, or Xen. Oh, sorry. So here you need to clean the query in order to take into account virtual machine.
Once again, it's not a supported scenario.
Yes, but you can create another device collection, and to create your own rules, you can gather and regroup your device computer by a rule membership rule. Okay, so now when your config manager environment is configured correctly, you can now view the reports. The compliance report, it's in the monitoring part. Okay, up here, monitoring part. You have the reporting container and some reports here, default reports from config manager. And when you install the feature SCCM integration, you have the MBAM container with templates. The default templates about the report that you can generate for compliance details. You will see which computer has BitLocker enabled, which computer has not BitLocker, etc. You can generate a dashboard for your management, for example. So that's a really great feature. And the advantage of using SCCM is that you take the information from the config manager client and you put it on your report. So you have a complete report, and you can view all the settings about your client. So here, I will see a report for my client, my only client, called Evo Client. I will generate the report. And here you can see that my computer Evo Client on the domain evosci.com is a non-portable computer because it's a virtual machine. It runs on Windows 0.1 Enterprise, and it's compliant because BitLocker has been enabled. Okay, here you have extra information about the client, which volume is encrypted, Here it's the C drive, my OS volume. It's an operating system drive. What is the cipher strength? You can deploy this parameter by GPO2. And what are the protectors used? Here I have a password to access the device. And you can see that it's fully encrypted. So you have all the information. The best part is that you can customize these reports just by right-clicking on it. That just templates. And you will use SQL Server Reporting Builder to customize your report. So you can add your company logo, you can change the columns, you can do whatever you want. And you will generate custom reports for your company. So that's a great feature. Here, a little feedback. When you first set your environment, well, if you generate the report, you will see this error. MBAM views are missing. Why? Well, just because the first client of your environment did not contact the SCCM server, and no information are stored on the database yet. But if you are waiting or you're forcing the deployment and the gathering of data, the report will not be empty, and you won't have this error.
One example of custom report could be used. In my company, we deploy by waves the encryptions. And the top management want to know for first wave how the number of computers protected, how the wave becomes, how the deployment for globally view becomes. It's a great tool to follow the deployment of your BitLocker infrastructure and protection.
All right, the first part, the last part, sorry, about policies. Well, to configure the client, you need policies. And these policies will be used with a template that you will download separately from the Microsoft Download Center. It's not on the sources of MBAM 2.5. So you will download your GPO templates. Here, you have your ADMX, your administrative template, and other ADML file for the language part. Well, now you have choice how to deploy them. You can use a central store on your domain. We will see that. Or you can use an administration gateway, for example, and install these templates only on the gateway. And you will manage remotely your domain controller. Or you can install them locally on your domain controller, but that's not the recommended way. So how can you deploy Central Store? Well, it's pretty straightforward. You connect. All right. You connect to the SysVol volume. And on your domain policies, you just have to create a folder named policy definitions. And then on this folder, you will have to copy paste all the administrative templates that are in your domain controller. Well, you can find these admin templates locally on the C drive in the Windows folder. And you have policy definitions, and that's all your locally administrative templates. You just select them, you copy on your folder in the SysVol volume, and don't remember to add the MBAM templates. That's the purpose. The advantage to use that is that the admin templates are replicated to all your domain controller. So you don't have to manually deploy your template everywhere. All right. Another feedback is about the keyboard. We talked about that before. Well, I have a client here. It's shut down. It's a Windows 8.1 machine, and I have installed the MBAM client. And this client already have BitLocker enabled with MBAM. And it is set to run with a password. Oh, yes. Sorry about that.
The problem is, imagine you got a user using a French keyboard. The user will type his PIN code with a French keyboard. But when BitLocker raises on the boot time, what we show you is that the keyboard could be in English, because the bootloader for sometimes loads the English drivers of the keyboards.
Yeah, I would like to show you that. I need to retrieve my key. Okay, never mind. I will show you that later. All right. So, what about feedback and best practice now? Okay.
First of all, things not to do in the environment. When you deploy MBAM, you got two containers for the GPUs, one for BitLocker and one for MBAM. If you got settings common to these two containers, the first thing the administrator wants to do is say, okay, it's BitLocker settings. I will try to change the BitLocker settings and the BitLocker containers. Never doing this, because when you're doing this, it's broken the MBAM restriction and encryption. But if you not have a settings on the MBAM side, you could modify the setting on BitLocker side. Because when you change the settings on the MBAM container, the setting is synchronized with the BitLocker container. Another thing I meet on a lot of customers, imagine you begin to deploy your MBAM infrastructure or you want to operate it, and there is a problem related to the permission. The customer begin to investigate, a little bit complicated, and say, oh, I'm worried, it's very complicated. The easy way to solve this, okay, no problem. I put the service account on the domain admin groups. Never doing this, because if this account is compromised, you could have attacks like pass the hash, pass the tickets. Because this account is used on the app pool. If you compromise IIS, you escalate to the service account on the app pool, you become system, and you could drop all the password in the memory. Before going to the production for new settings, changes, imagine you got before TPM protector, you want to introduce PIN code, for example, you need to test. Because imagine you got a new brand for laptop, you want to see if it's easy to set up the TPM, for example, or if you need to make a script to automate this. Another case, imagine you got a tablet, you enable BitLocker, but the keyboard is not available. The BitLocker will raise an error. Because without any keyboard, you cannot enter the PIN code, for example. So the test environment could make you sure to be aware of this problem.
Right. It could be obvious for a testing environment, but it's really important when you deploy BitLocker and you can potentially lock a device or all your company device. So it's really critical, and be aware of that. Always use maybe development, pre-prod and production to test the new version, to test the migration process, and to test the enforcement of your policies. That's really important.
The second point is to migrate sensitive population. I got an example, I think, 1 month before. Very important people and top management come to us and says, oh, we got a big problem. The number two of the commercial lost his tablet. And on the tablet, there is all the contract. It's very business critical for us. What is the state of the tablet? Is the tablet protected with BitLocker? Okay, go to BitLocker, to MBAM, and there is no data related to this tablet. We investigate, and we see that these people not enable BitLocker on this tablet. If you make these people protected, be aware to take also the secretaries, because the secretaries got access to his file, his personal email, and the same critical data. So don't forget these people too. And how about IT folks, Maximus?
Yeah, that's really important to include IT guys in the process, especially in your IT environment. The first pilot group, you will be the first person to test the MBAM features, to test the wizard, to test BitLocker encryption policies. But it's really important to have good feedback about that, because when a user is not happy, well, he will talk about that to all his colleagues. And sometimes the project of enabling BitLocker is not compromised, but it's not a great experience for the user, and he will not want to make the changes on his device. Well, an extremely important point is to create a help desk workflow. Well, for example, you have an employee which is in a remote location, for example, in a foreign country. Well, he needs to access his recovery key. How can you do that? You have several solutions. But if the PC is locked down, you cannot use a VPN connection. Or you can use it on your smartphone, for example, to connect to the help desk or to the self-service portal and to ask for the recovery key. Well, if you call the help desk line now, how can we be sure that you're the right person? How can we be sure that the person who's calling is the owner of the device? It may be the device stolen. If you have the help desk line accessible, for example, on your website, well, anybody can pretend to be someone to call the help desk and to recover the key. If the PC is stolen, well, and the recovery key is stolen, the data are accessible. Well, it's better to make a first layer authentication through your workflow. For example, you can ask a badge ID, you can ask answers to secret questions, etc. So you need to be sure that the person who's calling is the right person and that he owns the device. But be careful, though, with personal information, because you need to collect them in a legal way. And to access, for example, badge ID, you need also asset managers, which is sometimes used in your company. But if you don't have one, well, that's a third-party tool that you need to have and to include in your workflow for the help desk. All right, keep in mind, read MBAM known issues carefully, because every time you have a version of MBAM, you have known issues related to. That's really important. There's a TechNet page about all the issues you can have and all the scenarios that you could have problem with. That's really important. And that's the first page you should read before designing your infrastructure. As a best practice, also do not publish the self-service portal online, even with ADFS. Use instead a VPN connection. It's way more secure, and you can access on your smartphone, for example. Well, with direct access, you need a second PC, a domain joined second PC. So you don't always have two PCs with you, one for using it and one for the recovery key. That's a little bit tricky. But as a best practice, leave your self-service portal in your internal network. Well, another feedback that we have is that you cannot install the reporting role remotely, so you need to have access to the SQL node you want to install it. And you need admin rights to do that. So SSRS, even if you install it with SCCM or on a standalone version, you need to have, of course, admin rights to do that. And the MBAM wizard will check that the service is running on your machine. So that's why you need to be physically connected or remotely connected through remote desktop to this machine and install directly the MBAM sources, and then you will run the MBAM wizard.
Yesterday, you see that in order to deploy MBAM 2.5, you need to set a SPM for the web app account. By default, when you're doing the command line, the Kerberos delegation is for all services on this account. It's a security issue. I recommend you to be sure that you use Kerberos delegation only for HTTP on this account, for the short name and the full name on the domain. To be sure that Kerberos delegation will be used only for this purpose.
And of course, to set the SPM, you need to have the right permission. So you need to talk with the right person who has access to that.
Another thing to be aware is the secure boot consideration, because I see a lot of customers deploying MBAM and BitLocker and forget to enable the secure boot feature. Why enable secure boot feature? Because you will be sure that only trusted and signed operating system could be used on the server or the endpoint or the client. Why? Because you could take a live CD, not trusted, you boot it, and you could have access to the local drive to make attack, like sticky attack. Who knows about sticky attack? Sticky attack is replacing the accessibility functionality with the command line, and we got system access with this. So we could drop all the hash, the password, etc.
Right. So now we will talk about the end user. How can we improve the end user? So it will be a few tips. Some are obvious, and others are more tricky. Well, as you may know, if you give access to the self-service portal, the user needs to access it. So first of all, how can you provide access to the self-service portal? Will you create a favorite in Internet Explorer or another browser? Will you create a shortcut on the desktop, or will you send the URL by email, for example? Is it secure to do that? Do we need to do that? Can you put your URL on the intranet web page? Well, maybe sometimes the self-service portal is not accessible to anyone, to everyone, and you should restrain this access only for BitLocker users, for example. And a little trick is that if the user has to manually type the address, well, avoid him to use HTTP or HTTPS because some users don't know the difference. Just make a redirection, HTTP redirect in IIS, and redirect to the HTTPS URL. It's simple, but it could avoid you some support calls. So that's important.
Who use WakeOnLAN or seem to use WakeOnLAN? No people? One people?
Yeah.
OK.
Some of them.
There is consideration to take when you use WakeOnLAN. Why? Because when you use WakeOnLAN, for BitLocker, is considered as a boot change. And after this, the recovery mode is used for BitLocker. How to avoid this problem? There is a functionality provided by the BIOS, named follow boot order. What these settings do, when I make a WakeOnLAN, the WakeOnLAN say to BitLocker, OK, no problem. No boot from LAN, only from the hard drive. And you not have the recovery mode for BitLocker. There is another thing to know. Imagine you use Configuration Manager as patch management system. Sometimes, to apply patch, you need to reboot the client. But if you use pin code, the client wait for the pin code. And if there is no users, there is no boot. In order to avoid this, there is an option and the settings in Configuration Manager say, OK, I disable BitLocker, I put the patch, I reboot, and I enable BitLocker again. So no need to use the pin code when I make the patch. Another thing that some users raised to us is, OK, I got one password for BitLocker, one password for my session, one password for business application. There is a bunch of passwords to remember. It's a little bit annoyed. How to mitigate this? There is a functionality named Network Unlock. How it works? When you are on the corporate LAN, BitLocker boot and not ask for the PIN code to the users, because we see there is a Network Unlock, and we are in corporate. Wait.
Sorry.
Thank you. How do you define a corporate network in this?
OK. The Network Unlock is a feature of WDS. On WDS, we will enable the Network Unlock feature. You also need certificates to doing this, to authenticate each other and to use the certificate as a protector. And you need to have a separate DHCP. But there is some constraint to deploy it, and that's why it's not well deployed today. First one, you need UEFI DHCP client compatibility. Then you need domain 2012 level. You need to push a certificate on the endpoint. You need to push a certificate on the WDS. You need to be sure that only TPM plus PIN code is enforced on the endpoint. That's why it's not a common scenario, but it's a scenario that exists. So it's a role on the WDS server.
Any other question, maybe? OK.
And also, when you go outside the corporate network, you cannot contact the WDS, and the user need to put his PIN code to access to the drive.
All right, one more thing. Well, several more things.
You remember with the previous version of MBAM, when you try to use a port used on IIS, you got this error. Say, OK, there is a problem. I already got a website on this port, on this hostname. But now, For example, if you deploy with a new version on the HTTP port for our lab, for example, there is no error. MBAM begin to deploy. It's a normal behavior because MBAM now use virtual hostname to be sure that only the requests are accepted. But imagine when you're doing this, you say, OK, I make a mistake. I'm doing this on the default HTTP port. I want to change it. I go to IIS. I open the properties of my SAT. And I change the port. I restart the IIS. But unfortunately, you will get this error. Why? Because there is a web confide used by the helpdesk portal that's not synchronized with IIS. So you need to manually update this file too.
That's a problem, yes. If you change the bindings, it won't reflect it on the web config, and well, you have mismatch between ports. And yes, you need to know that, or at least search online, because a few IT pros had the same problem.
Or another mitigation is to remove the MBAM feature and add again the MBAM feature.
So be aware when you're changing ports for the self-service portal and only for the helpdesk, and also for the helpdesk. Be aware of that.
Another thing we got when we need to make troubleshooting, sometimes we need deeper information. And by default, the MBAM agent provides only few words. And if you want to need more detail about the event, there is a file on the MBAM directory named mbamclientweed.exe.config. You change the trust level switch value to 4, for example, and you got a lot more detailed trace on the event log.
Yeah, you can do that by GPO too, or with a custom script, because there's no unique IDs here, so you can deploy the same file and to configure all your client in the same time. All right, a little word about BitLocker to go. Who's using it in your company? Yes? Okay. To know, BitLocker to go is the ability to BitLocker removable drives, such as USB key. Well, at some point in your company, well, you will face this question. Do I need to enforce BitLocker on this USB key or not? Well, it will depend of your user's habit. Do they bring their own custom keys to work? Do you provide USB keys, for example, to your user to work? Well, do you allow them to use the USB port, for example, because some companies will block? Well, it's up to you. It's up to your internal policy, and you will have to discuss about that. And it may be better to allow BitLocker, but not to enforce BitLocker, to require BitLocker for all your USB keys. Because as a reminder, if you use BitLocker on USB key, for example, well, you can encrypt FAT and NTFS drives. That's OK. Well, how can you access the data? Well, it's pretty straightforward with Windows 7, Enterprise, and Ultimate editions, and same for Superior editions. Well, it's a little bit tricky when you use Vista, if you still use it, or XP, okay? You shouldn't have XP devices, but still. Well, with Vista and XP, there's a reader called BitLocker Drive Encryption to go reader that you install on XP and Vista, but you will only have read access to the data on your USB key. You cannot write. So that's a problem. And what about Mac? What about Linux? What about other operating systems? What about tablets, etc.? So that's a discussion you need to have internally to to see if you will enable BitLocker on this removable device. Anyway, to do that, you will need to store the recovery keys of the of those device, because when the USB key is encrypted, well, it's better to have access to the data on it. So MBAM will support this too, and it's configurable on your group policy settings. You need, though, to enable the data recovery agent, so the USB key of well, the recovery keys will be stored. Okay.
Another thing I meet on one of our customers. The customer pushed this setting. Why? Because before deploying MBAM, the customer stores the recovery key in Active Directory. And he forget about it because there is a bunch of GPUs. It was hard to find it, believe me. And when we try to begin the encryption of the new laptops with MBAM, it's not working. Okay? We say, okay, we go to dig in the event log. And the event log raises this error. But there is a problem. The log says, my system volume is missing. But it's impossible. I'm on my system, working and running, and I want to protect this system. So be careful when you want to try to deploy BitLocker on new machine that there is no other GPU force the Active Directory key backup of the recovery key. Because it makes a weird event log, there is nothing to see with this setting.
All right. Well, what happens if you don't have internet access from your device and you want to recover your key? Well, the self-service portal won't work. Why? Because you need Microsoft Ajax content delivery access, which are JavaScript files hosted on the Microsoft servers. Well, without an internet connection, well, you don't have access to these JavaScript files. And the self-service portal won't launch. You have an empty screen like that. So the workaround is to manually copy the three JavaScript files on your MBAM server. There's a folder named script. And then you will have to reconfigure the application settings of your web server to use the local files on your self-service portal. So be aware, if you don't have access on your machine, well, you have to make some extra steps for the self-service portal. All right, last part. It's about virtual environment. We talk about that. MBAM does not natively support virtual environments, and especially if you're using dynamically sized VHDs on your machines, your virtual machines. Well, if you do that and you try to encrypt the drive, well, you will have this error. This is about thin provision storage, and it's not compatible with dynamic VHDs. So you will have to manually enable BitLocker, and then the agent will correctly store the recovery key in the database. So be aware of that. Virtual machine, virtual environments, it's half supported. All right. I would like to make the demo I didn't make earlier. It's just about the keyboard, the US keyboard, and that's important to know. Hopefully this one will start correctly. Yes. Right. So,
Maxim got on his laptop a French keyboard, an AZERTY keyboard.
Yes, it's an AZERTY keyboard, because I'm French. Well, even if you have an AZERTY keyboard, well, if you try to type the password, well, you see that I have a QWERTY keyboard. Well, that's a real problem if you want to enable passwords in your company. because if you don't natively use QWERTY keyboards, well, when you first launch your computer, the QWERTY keyboard will be used by default. This is a feature from your computer. It's part of the firmware settings. And if multi keyboards are not supported on your computer, well, you will be on a QWERTY mode. So if the user tries to type his password with QWERTY and has a physical AZERTY keyboard, well, there's a problem. So the official recommendation from Microsoft is use the QWERTY keyboard to enter your PIN code during the MBAM setting. Well, it does not make sense because, well, the user will type his password normally and will not think about switching his keyboard layout from AZERTY to QWERTY just to type the PIN code or the password on the MBAM wizard. So be aware, if you're doing that, if you deploy passwords, well, you may need all QWERTY keyboards or just leave it and use PIN code. That's the main problem of the product, and it depends of your model, of your computer. So just test it before, heavily test, gather all the models you have in your company, be sure that all the computer manufacturing are here, and you have tested it before releasing the policy with password. Okay? I think we're done. If you have any question, well,
another feel free to ask. For the demo, very quickly. There is one setting to be care about, because by default, you use 128 cipher encryption. But if you not push this policy by GPO, you got a compliance problem and error, even if you use the default cipher strength for encryption.
That's part of the known issue that you will find on TechNet. So that's a good feedback, because even if you use the default, you will have to enable it. Okay, if you have any question, feel free to ask. We have a mic here. Another thing is that there are a few white papers online about deployment guide and some PowerShell commandlets if you want to test them. And of course, there's the resources download page on the Microsoft resources.
Any question?
If you have any question, it's time.
Or problem you meet on your environment?
Over there.
Question about the keyboard. If you have problem with non-QWERTY keyboard, what about tablets, where you need to have a touch keyboard?
Okay.
Well, you have a parameter in the GPO which is called on-screen keyboard, and that you can enable by GPO. And this parameter will display the visual keyboard at the start.
On your
and
tablet.
You will be able to use this virtual keyboard to type your password. This is a parameter in the GPO, and you can enable it for tablets. Yes.
Another question?
But see, it will be still a QWERTY keyboard. Any question? No? Okay, if you have any questions, feel free to come here and to ask. And thank you for being here.